about being annoyed with your spouse. Being annoyed with your spouse. Did someone laugh? I was actually thinking about all this week.
Actually,
when I told my wife this, my wife was like, "Oh no, is this like you telling me something?" I was like, "No." But the reason why I thought about it, I think my purpose is not just to make us feel bad or that kind of thing, but I also think it's something to think about biblically. Actually, what really sparked it, to be honest with you, what really moved me to think about it was you guys know that we have some couples that will be getting married in our church in the next few months. And actually, it's a joy for me doing biblical counseling or premarital counseling with all of that. But part of the thing, if you guys remember when we went over the premarital counseling, there's always a discussion about family history, right? Family history. And I think I hear it all the time where I realize, wow, when we talk about family history, how did your parents argue? What did they argue about? Everyone kind of say, well, you know what? My mom and dad, what they argue about in a big scheme of things is actually pretty trivial. Like, they bring up the same thing again and again. It's somehow when you look at it, they don't think so until, as children or an outsider will look at it and say, oh, that's kind of, big scheme of thing. That's really not that big of a deal. But somehow it's like a big point of contention or something where it's an annoyance, okay? You wouldn't say it's going to be like, oh, it's going to be a massive thing that's going to end the marriage sometimes, but it's things that is just like, wow, it's just really annoying for one spouse to be annoyed with the other spouse. So I thought today, in light of that, we look at this topic biblically, and sometimes we might say, oh, well, if being annoyed with your spouse, it might be a small or respectable sin, right? It's like, oh, it's not going to like make me think of the word divorce or some thing else worse than that. But I think it's something to think about biblically. Also as well. So that we would actually, the reason why is to honor God. So we're going to be looking at, okay, girls, we're going to be looking at different verses, okay, for today. It'll be more topical. Have you ever noticed, I know Peter Liu and his significant other was here like 2 months ago, and I was thinking about this as I was observing them in a good way. I was thinking how like some things we could find when you first get together in a relationship, things that you can find, oh wow, the peculiarness of who they are or particularness is like really cute and adorable, right? But at 5 or 10 years later, that becomes really, really annoying, right? Now, when you first dated, when you first met each other, maybe the husband or the future husband was like a little bit absent-minded about something. And he's just kind of staring in space and you think, oh, how adorable. But 5, 10 years from now, when you ask him, oh, could you fix the plumbing? All of a sudden he just has a look. He's like, it's really, really annoying, right? Same thing also as well with also for the husband with the wife also as well, right? Certain things, it was like, okay, wow, she used to ask a lot of questions. Oh, man, I really like answering all the questions because I have all the answers. But 5, 10 years from now, you could be like, oh, man, like, she's asking my question. Didn't she figure it out already? So that's an example, right? Of how things we could easily find cute and adorable in the beginning. But 5, 10 years, there's something about sometimes we have familiarity breeds what?
Contempt,
right? And it's not just only true of couples. I also see that with kids, too, right? Even with my own kids, as they're learning a little bit more, suddenly it's just as a 2-year-old, or 2.5-year-old, or 3-year-old, right? Could easily be like, oh, wait, mom and dad, you're wrong about this. And you're like, wait, what makes you think it's wrong? And they'll share, like, oh, their deduction. They'll be like, oh, well, there's some steps missing, right? There's some steps missing, and it's actually okay, or whatever else it is, okay? Where we could easily have that, okay? So today, as a question for application today, is we want to ask, have you thought about what God thinks about your annoyance with your spouse, right? Think of the most recent thing that you found annoying with your spouse, or might have been a point of altercation. Now, none of your spouse contact me and say, have a Bible study, because he or she needs it, okay? That's not what it is. And I think it's the reality of life. As I'm doing biblical counseling with those, as they're sharing their family history, I realize, actually it was Ben and Noah was sharing it. I was thinking, hey, you know what? The same thing. I could say the same thing about my mom and dad. What they argue about is sometimes, in the big scheme of things, pretty trivial. Now, they don't think so. If you say it to them, they'll even give you more reasons why, right? But the more reason they share, the more it's like, ah, man, that's even more, big scheme of thing. Maybe not the biggest thing in the world, okay? Where you almost feel like, hey, outside looking, it's like, hey, count your blessing, everything else that we do have, okay? So in light of this, today we will look at the issue of being annoyed with your spouse biblically. I have 3 points today. Number one, I think, is what we need to first need to do is we must be aware of the symptoms. Be aware of the symptoms that we are, what, annoyed with our spouse. And I think we live in an age where we could easily lie to ourselves, right? For instance, sometimes in marriage counseling, in marriage issues, people would say, you know, I'm not mad at you. I'm just frustrated, right? So, what's the difference, right? Or they say, no, I'm not mad. There's no conflict. We just have a disagreement. But then when you realize, taking a step back, actually, it's more. But we sometimes whitewash it. We make it better. Or we say, oh, I'm not mad at you. I'm just frustrated because it sounds better. But then your whole action shows otherwise, okay? So if the first thing we need to do, number one, is we need to be aware of the symptom that shows that we are really, you know, we are annoyed with our spouse. So I think it's helpful to think about it and also be convicted as we think about it. Secondly, in dealing with annoyance of your spouse, I think second point is we must biblically evaluate the things you find annoying, okay? We must biblically evaluate the things you find annoying. I think sometimes we get annoyed, but I think one of the challenges is to take a step back even further and say, wait, let me look at this, my annoyance. What am I annoyed about? What makes me triggered about this? And is this biblical? And am I viewing things through God's lens? And then sometimes when we actually take a step back a little bit, you realize, wow, actually, there's some things I don't need to be annoyed about, okay? And thirdly, I also want to talk about handling annoyance biblically, okay? This is more a lot of do's, but I think it first begins with how we think about things. And then we address what do we deal with when we are annoyed, is the third part, okay? So first part, I have four questions to see, to help us think more, see our problems, given how we could easily self-deceive ourselves with annoyance, okay? So four questions to really see the symptom. Because sometimes people could be annoyed with their spouse and not even realize it. They're just, they express and that's it. But then taking a step back, how do you know you're at this point where you are annoying your spouse and that is a problem, okay? First question is, have you been disrespectful to your spouse? Okay, have you been disrespectful to your spouse? I know this is kind of interesting to say, right? But it's biblical, right? Turn with me real quick to Ephesians 5:33. This is in context. I know this sounds so targeted. It isn't. But Ephesians 5:33 is Paul addressing to women, okay? To wives, okay? But then I'm going to have passages for men part, okay? Ephesians 5:33. This is tricky then. You see,
I'll read it.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, teaching early on Tuesday when it's just guys, it's so easy. Hey, you read this verse. Then I realize, oh, it's couples meeting. Then it sounds like, hey, you read this verse. It's like, what would I do? Anything. Okay, you want to read
I'll
that?
Read it.
Okay, thank you, Nancy.
It says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Yeah. What you guys are talking about. It's okay. That's good. Okay. In talking about being respectful, right? She respects her husband is the part that's mentioned. Okay. Should husbands be respectful to their wives? I think so. Also as well. Just like the passages talk a lot about husbands should love their wives. The wives should love, but it doesn't say here. That's not to say wives do not love their husband, but they should. But it's the part with focusing and concentrating on, right? Where I think there might be a sense, it might be harder for the wife's role sometimes to submit to, and not just only that, to respect her husband, okay? But I want to show you this theme is not just only the issue of being respectful, it's not only just addressed to women, okay? It's addressed to men more broadly, okay? Now, there's no verse that could say, oh, husband, respect your wife, that I could find, but I think generally, men should be respectful of others, okay? Turn with me real quick to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Again, just instructional purposes only. Keyword is instructional purposes only. Victor, could you read 1 Timothy 3, 2? Yeah. So here in the context, it's talking about elders should be what kind of men? Number one, you see that they're to be faithful, right? Husband of one wife. So there is an aspect of marriage. But the other part, if you look, is respectable, okay? Respectable and hospitable, okay? So in the light of that, respectable and hospitable shows that it is important for men also to be what? Respectful of others, okay? By the way, I think the qualification, the characteristics of an elder is a characteristics that every man of God should have. to some capacity also as well. You might say, oh, I'll be able to teach. Yeah, in every home, every man here is a pastor of your family and your kids and all of that, okay? But here, so I think in asking the question in terms of diagnosing your problem, sometimes we think it's not a big deal. Oh, I was just annoyed. I just said that because I was annoyed. But assessing that question is, have you been disrespectful to your spouse? Because with annoyance, it does produce fruits. For instance, talking away, that is what? Disrespectful. Or you would say, I don't give time to listen to your spouse's view. You cut him or her off because you don't think highly of their opinion, which is highly disrespectful. Okay? Let's go to the second question. Have you not been gentle with your spouse? Okay? Have you not been gentle with your spouse? Do you guys remember the fruit of the Spirit includes what? Let's turn it with me to Galatians 5:22-23. Oscar, would you be able to read verse 22? And Sophie, would you be able to read verse 23? Galatians
5:22 and 23.
Against such things, there is no law. Yeah. Okay. Wow, you're so eager, Beaver. You read quite a bit of verses. Okay, that's good. So here we see here, right? The fruit of the Spirit includes what? Verse 23 mentioned that it also includes gentleness. Okay. It includes gentleness, which is the question we must ask. Have you been gentle with your spouse? Okay? Oftentimes, I would probably, I'm not a betting man, but if I was a betting man, I'd bet just only 1 cent. That if we're disrespectful to our spouse, sometimes it's because we're triggered by being annoyed with our spouse, right? Unless it's like we're just disrespectful, just ignorant, whatever the case is that with that, okay? You know, and how can we see it itself? Is your words are what? Harsh in how we talk to our spouse, right? Third question is, have you been patient with your spouse, okay? 3 of 4 questions is, have you been patient with your spouse? Of course, we're annoyed. We are not going to be very patient, right? But if you guys are still with me in Galatians 5:22, what is one of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Patience, okay? Patience, okay? That is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Where I think how it manifests itself as an example when you're annoyed is you have a hard time putting up with his or her quirkiness or uniqueness, okay? So I think that's important to ask. Have we been patient for our spouse, okay? Fourthly, has there been also a double standard concerning how we respect, show gentleness, and patience with our own spouse and with others? You realize so many times we can self-deceive ourselves, like, if we, because someone comes up to us at work, oh, you're so respectful with everybody. You're so patient with everyone. And then people tell you all the time, wow, you're so patient. But then you go back home and your spouse is a different standard, right? But we go back home thinking we're such a good person. Like, oh yeah, everyone tells me I'm patient. But ask yourself as well as a question, is there a double standard also as well, right? And is there a double standard because we perhaps have familiarity with our spouse or annoyance that's triggered by other things? Okay, I think it's always good to ask that question, okay? And ask yourself with all these 4 questions, again, the question asking is to really show maybe the problem that we do have, because sometimes we think it's a very respectable sin, okay? I realized even as I was talking, this is what part of me started thinking about this, was as I was talking with engaging in all the biblical counseling for marriage, as we talk about family history, and everyone sharing about how their parents are not perfect, then I thought, oh yeah, okay, I expected that. Then I started thinking, is it still okay? Is it still okay? Well, biblically, the standard obviously is God's perfect law, right? Was not okay. Then I was thinking, wait, but then what do we do when we have this? So, which is why we want to talk about this, so that we diagnose to look at these questions, and then leads to the second point. Okay, so all that is to see, being aware. Now, why do we need to be aware of the symptom? Is so that we see the need for what? God's grace, okay? I hope you guys realize when I preach enough by now, you guys know me many years, is that our point is not just to see sin, just to feel bad and go home and do better. It's actually the first thing is go to what? God for grace, right? This is the good news, okay? The first thing we need to do is when we see the problem is go to God for what? Grace, for confession, to experience His renewal, okay? Only until God forgives us could we then be able to what? Be able to deal with whatever sin it is, okay? So I think second point, so the first part is we need to be aware of the symptoms. Because sometimes we could easily just go through life. It's like, oh yeah, that's like everyone else. At least I'm not worse than my neighbor or whatever else, right? And then that's the question asked before us is, do we manifest this thing and see that it's contrary to God's law, okay? Let's go to the second point, is how do we handle being annoyed with our spouses? The second point is we need to biblically evaluate the things you find annoying, okay? This is more of like taking a step back and saying, okay, whatever you're annoyed with, is it biblical, okay? I think the best way to think about it is when you are annoyed with something, oftentimes something's off the standard, right? Off the standard of quote-unquote what is normal or expectation of your spouse, whatever it is. I'm saying that we need to go take a step back and ask, are those standards and are those things that you that becomes a trigger, a minefield in our hearts, are they actually biblical? And let's looking at it through what? God's eyes, okay? Looking at it through God's eyes, okay? The first step, I think, is I actually think this might be worthwhile, although it could be done wrongly, okay? Sit down and maybe write this on your laptop so you could just delete the Word document or just, you know, control it. Because you don't want to store up a whole list and use this as a, hey, honey, this is what's all wrong with you. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I think it might be a good step to even sit down and ask yourself the question is, what are the things you find annoying with your wife or husband, right? But again, the point is not to have a list to like, you know, to go attack. It's not a, how do you call it? It's not a WikiLeaks, okay? To attack your spouse and say, hey, here's everything that is wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But write it down. This is more for you, okay? By the way, the first thing we need to realize is with every problem you have, you cannot control the other person. You guys realize that? That's probably what makes us so annoyed, right? So the first thing we realize with every problem, the only thing you can control is yourself. Actually, with every problem, there should be one person that should always change. It should be you yourself, right? Now, the other person might change, and it might be very slow, and then you get more annoyed with that. But the very first thing I think you realize with every problem is realize God allowed it so that you would grow through that, okay? That God cares about, actually, He cares more than our problems. He cares about that we would become like what? Him. Okay, manifesting all the fruit of the spirits that is contrary to being annoyed. Okay, so first question is write it down. I encourage it, write it down online. Or what did I say online? I mean, you know, Word document so you could just remove it after. Okay, like really write it down. It might be a first, but then when you first flow everything else, the second step I think will be good is this. I think it's good to ask the questions, evaluating them biblically. First question I think is to ask is when we look through the list of things, is ask. Is what you find annoying something that's only your preference? Is there things that's merely preference, okay? Is there something that is merely preference, okay? Because sometimes it is. What we find annoying with is what? Preference, okay? But if it's preference, what is the antidote to that? If you discover, oh, I see X, Y, or Z is preference, what do you do? You realize, I think what we need to realize is go back to understand what is love, okay? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13:5. Wendy, you want to, are you able to read 1 Corinthians 13:5?
Yeah,
I know it's kind of awkward.
Okay. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, does not provoke, thinks no evil.
Yeah, okay, thank you, yeah. More looking in the middle, it says, it does not, love does not what? The context is the love chapter, right? Love does not seek its own, okay? And it's not provoked, okay? In other words, it's not annoyed, okay? So I think that's one thing to realize. If you realize it's just preference, I think it's okay to say, hey, let it go, right? What's that song? Let it go, right? Just let it go. By the grace of God, just realize it is, okay? With that. And I think you'll be surprised how many times many people in their marriage thing, what they're annoyed with, is actually more preference than actually issued as black and white, okay? I'm not a relativist. I hope you guys catch that. But at the same time, I think a lot of times, there's issues where it's actually issue of preference, okay? For example, I could think of an example is the spouse wanting the other person to dress a certain color, right? Or an issue where it's an issue of Christian liberty and freedom, okay? Just as an example, you know, I'm racking my brain to write examples down.
Bye.
Okay. But,
bye.
Okay, secondly, I think the second question is, of course, as you see if it's preference and you realize, okay, maybe my standards need to change. And some things that are preference, it's okay that it isn't something that you should, what, fight over about, right? Or cause a marriage problem over about. This is why I think it's also good sometimes to have a brother and sister you could share. Hopefully the same gender that you're sharing as you, what you are, okay, also as well. You say, hey, you know, I have this issue X, Y, or Z. Talk to me. Am I crazy? Is it a preference or is this a real issue that it is? And I think sometimes that's the objectivity. Say, you know what, brother so-and-so, that's not really, you know, that big of a deal for the sake of your marriage. Or actually, take a step back a little bit more and see this is not a problem, okay? So second one is what you find annoying, something that's an issue of sin, okay? Turn with me real quick to, because if it is an issue of sin, then what do we need to do is actually confront that God's way, okay? Turn with me real quick to 2 Timothy 2:24 to 26. I'm going to read 24. Nancy, you want to read verse 25. And then Victor, you want to read verse 26.
Wait, what? 2 Corinthians 2?
Oh, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy. Oh, 2 sorry.
Timothy.
2 Timothy. I always say Corinthians whenever I say Timothy.
You said Timothy.
I did? Okay.
You did say Timothy.
But I really do have that mistake.
Oh, that's weird. I heard 2 Corinthians, though.
We did read Corinthians.
I heard Corinthians, too, after you asked.
Oh, that's
okay.
Weird.
Second Corinthians. I did that. Okay. 2 Timothy 2:24-26. The Lord bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong.
In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth.
And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him and do his will.
Yeah, so this is actually how God revealed. Now, in context, this is talking about how men of God, the servant, or pastors should confront. But I think we could draw principle for all of us, right, as Lord's servant. If you look at this passage, it's pretty wise, right? If you do need to confront, how should we confront people's problems? If it really is an issue that you're annoyed with something that's really wrong in terms of sin, it's black and white, I think the first thing you need to do is confront with what? With gentleness and patience, okay? With gentleness and patience. And also realize, hey, it's okay to be wronged, okay? Even if you look at verse 24, right? Be kind to all, able to teach. Patient when what? Not patient when they're kind to you. Patient when wronged, okay? Patient when wronged, okay? Secondly, is there needs to be a reliance of God to cause the change. And how do we practically see whether or not you really rely on God? Is, well, number one is, remember God's word says, right, that anger's man's anger does not accomplish his what? God's will, right? Often it does not accomplish God's will. And that's really sobering, because it's easy when it's something's wrong. That have you realized, sometimes it's hard to see, am I just angry because of my own self? Pride that I've been wrong, or is it really because of biblical principle? It can get kind of tricky, right? Especially if it's wrong against us. And I would even say in the area, it's better to be wrong by others and just going slow, okay? And then relying on Him, if you're really relying on Him, you're praying for change, okay? You're praying for change. Let's just say for an example, one spouse struggles with passive-aggressive biting comments, right? Some people will just, okay, they'll bite in comments, but then when they ask, hey, someone asks, what does it mean? They'll back out and say, what? What are you talking about, right? What do you do in that case? I think is just realize, hey, you shouldn't lose your cool. You just say, hey, this is what you said, and this is what it sounds like, right? And then dealing with that, in light of 2 Timothy 2:24, I think that those three verses is worth memorizing, okay? Worth memorizing. And if there's one thing in dealing with people's problem, I think is people's lives changes what? Slow. You know, people change slow. Can we say that together? People change slow, okay? That is really true, okay? But I found over just the last 7 years of just pastoring, he's even being patient with wrong when you're correcting. When you're correcting, they're acting crazy. But if you bite your tongue, yeah, later on you might be dealing with your heart issue of like anger and everything else. But I've never regretted not having an outburst. Actually, there's times where because of patience, okay, it would be wrong, okay, I'll look the other way, for the good to minister to the other person. And sometimes years later, people's lives do change, and they call and say, I wish there was more, but there's times where people have called and said, you know what, I was in sin, and you were right to confront me, and you were gentle, and I was really a jerk to you, you know? So realize people change slow, but if it is about issue of sin, I think this is where we need to rely on God, right? And thirdly, is sometimes the things we find annoying, sometimes could feel like it's halfway. It's not like black and white, the scriptures says thou shalt not or thou shalt. And it's kind of like preference, but it's not. We say it's an issue of wisdom, right? I think this is where probably more often, we often find people annoyed. It's like, well, that was blank way of dealing with things, right? But I think, what do we do when we ask, is the issue of wisdom? When we find that we're annoyed because of an issue of wisdom. Maybe the way the spouse does things is different than when you do, and you think your way is more time efficient, wiser, prudent, financially more responsible, etc. What do we need to do? I think the first thing we need to do is realize there's two kinds of wisdom, right? There's two kinds of wisdom that Scripture talks about. Turn with me to James 3, 13 to 18. James 3, 13 to 18. Who do we stop with? Victor or? Okay. Sophie, would you be able to read? How about we read two verses each? Beginning with Sophie, Oscar, Wendy, and then we think we should end with myself.
James
3, 13 to 18. Beginning with 13.
Okay.
Two verses per.
Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth.
This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile act.
But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sowed in peace by those who make peace.
Yeah, so notice Scripture makes it clear there's two kinds of wisdom, right? There's a wisdom from above, which is godly, and a wisdom from below, which is earthly and even described as demonic, okay? Well, it's described as demonic in verses 15. But how do we know it's true wisdom? How do we know it's true wisdom? Notice it doesn't say, oh, how much deal you can make, right? Or how much you could save, or energy efficiency, or whatever else you fill in the blank with. But notice it stresses a lot on what? Godly behavior. Look in verses 13, it says, good behavior in his deeds and the gentleness of wisdom, right? Notice again, stressing the moral part in verses 17, right? Saying again, peaceful, and then the word gentle again, reasonable, full of mercy, and good fruits, unwavering. So I think when we see that sometimes we're triggered where, okay, our spouse may not have made the wisest choice, but at the same time, when you're upset with it, your spouse not being that wise, you are also manifesting what? You think it's wise, but it's manifesting wisdom of the world when it's no longer gentle and patient also as well. So notice in that situation, you realize now the problem is what? It's not just one, it's also both, right? That you're also manifesting really foolishness with your ungodly way of dealing with situation also as well. So I think in light of this, what do we do when we discover this? This is where I think we realize, at least for me, realizing the need for God's grace for both. And why it's, I feel you're less annoyed with your spouse when you realize, wait, I also have problems too. Does that make sense? You might say, okay, I have this down, I'm more street smart, whatever else, you fill in the blank, or financially smart. But then you realize, okay, in being annoyed, you manifest fruits of what? The wisdom of the world, which is really foolishness, right? And that's also a problem. Now, in that perspective, you see that you are also short of the glory of God. You're also not who you think you are. And that person is not. But I also think there's a sense where we realize, okay, we both together need the grace of God. And that's a very different attitude than one saying, oh, I'm fully adequate in this area, and then this person is not. Then you realize both of us all fall short and need the grace of God, which should stir in us a bit of humility in how we treat the other spouse, okay? And how we even deal with issues also as well, okay? So ask yourself, are you manifesting biblical or unbiblical wisdom, okay? Then thirdly, I think in all of this is to say, sometimes we evaluate problems and we see, yeah, that person really do have something that is a biblical issue of sin or whatever. How do we handle annoyance? Or how do we handle it when even when we know, oh, I know I should change, but this time I'm struggling. What are some things we need to do, which is the third part? handling annoyance biblically. I think the first thing we need to realize is you can't always change the other person, okay? Especially with the area that what you're annoyed with, okay? You can't always change them. Or if they've changed, it's never according to anyone's timing, okay? I wish as a pastor, people change faster, you know? I feel like sometimes I'm being patient with the church until we have a new visitor come. And they'll say things like, oh, what about here X, Y, or Z at the church? And then I'll say, oh yeah, that's a good point. However, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, let's back up and say, in order to say if there's an issue of prayer meeting, put in perspective that a few years ago, we didn't even have prayer meeting. So for me, I'm rejoicing at God's work. But even for you to raise a problem with our prayer meeting example, is also God's already working in order for you to even ask those questions with that. So I think sometimes we don't have the big perspective of what? Years, right? Sometimes I think we need to look at everything in terms of years. Because marriage is like a ship, right? It takes a long time to slowly turn a big ship, right? To the right angle. So I think we need to have a big term view of everything. We can't change right away. And I actually think sometimes maybe the reason why God doesn't allow change to happen to the other person in marriage right away is so that we discover that when people do change, we would say, it was not my effort, it was God all the way, right? It was not my effort, because if it was my effort, it would be according to my timing, and the person would totally obey everything I say or whatever else. But it's actually a case to show it's really God's timing, okay? So the first thing is realize no matter what problem you're dealing with concerning what you are annoyed with, the biggest thing God is working through you right now, and He is working, is actually producing in you patience, okay? The first thing we need to realize when we deal with annoyance is to realize sometimes you could be so annoyed and think, man, God's not working. You know, it's like, I'm testing this guy's battery. Why is that person's not working, right? Pushing their buttons, right? And you wonder how come there's no power of God behind, hey, where's God and everything? They realize, all situation, God's always working. And sometimes He's working to produce in you patience, right?
And humility.
Okay? That's the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, remember? That's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, patience, all of that, okay? So we need to realize this. Secondly, I think in dealing with issues of annoyance is we must speak softly about it, okay? Turn with me to Proverbs 15:1. Proverbs 15:1. Proverbs 15:1. Nancy, could you read Proverbs 15:1?
Yeah. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger.
Yeah. So, even when we address issues, remember to speak what? Softly and carry a big Bible. No. Right? But you get the idea. It's speaking softly. Okay? Speaking softly turns away what?
Wrath.
Wrath. Okay? And a harsh tongue instead would stir up anger, okay? The best way to speak gently, that's easier said than done, right? To speak gently. But what's the best way to speak gently? I actually think this method works for me. The best way, at least for me to speak gently, is to speak slowly. Okay? It's actually to speak slowly. It actually works for me. Turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 19. Victor, you want to read James 1:19? Now, you guys all know I talk really fast, right? Obviously, I sometimes don't remember how fast I speak until I go to another church. And then sometimes they literally ask me, could you slow down, okay? But I realize with dealing with things, the best way to speak softly for me, practically speaking, is speak very slowly. And yeah, slow is smooth, and smooth is fast. But go ahead. James 1:19. Yeah, so that's where I would say that how do we actually practically speak softly, I think, is to speak slowly, okay? By the way, when I speak slowly, I don't have to raise my voice as much, right? I think I've been working the last 7-8 years, the art of whispering rebukes to people. What I mean by that is, okay, when I'm correcting, if it's really the work of God, that means sometimes I just all I have to do is, as we meet, as they're sharing, I'm not necessarily raising my voice, but I'm leaning in, whispering, just saying, is this right? And is this biblical, right? And I think we must never forget the power of God's work. Not just only an exclamation mark, but sometimes through question marks is a better hook as well to ask, is this the right thing? And to speak slowly, which speaking slowly helps us to speak softly, okay? Hopefully, slowly, like deliberately for good, right? Not slowly to milk to hurt, right? Like you're stabbing and you're hoping to slowly move. That would be terrible, obviously, right? Okay? So the other thing I think is also realize whenever we're dealing with patients, I actually find this is where theology matters. I actually find that when I'm struggling with patients, I love to read all those big systematic theology books on patience, to see God as patience. And the more I see God as patient, the more it cultivates in me as patient, okay? And finally, I think also realize, study the gospel. I actually think the gospel, why we need to preach ourselves the gospel. Now, why do we need the morning devotional every day? Like, why do we actually do this? I actually think it's very practical. Because actually, I become a morning person devotional now. I didn't realize, it's like, you know, you're addicted to something, you don't realize it until you're gone. This last week, every morning has been like, I've been waking up very early to meet up with people. And I'm not a morning person in that sense, you know, but I've begun the habit. I've always been an evening person. But I've been starting doing devotions in the morning and evening. But I realized, wow, if I don't have my morning devotions, it does change me now. Like, it does have an impact. Why do we need to hear the gospel every day? It's so that we would know of God's patience with what? With us, right? With myself, a sinner. And only when I see myself in need of God's grace, in need of His patience, and how patient He is with me, would I then be able to be patient with my spouse, with those in the church, with those at work, or with those that are non-believers, or those that would want to offend me, or those on social media, or whatever else it is. That's the only way, I think, that's the nuclear power way to actually be able to fight annoyance is what? Is to be patient, and is to be loving, okay? Finally, I would also say, the last thing to say is, renew your love for one another, okay? Renew your love for one another. I think that's one way to put away. Remember how I began by saying that when you first were madly in love in the beginning, everything that person did was what? Was lovely, right? You hold all their faults and everything else, okay? And I think it's to grow, also cultivate in loving your spouse also as well, okay? That's